You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It was 10 weeks ago tonight, the last Saturday in February. That was the last time we had regular programming after 2 months, 9 consecutive weeks of special programming, March Around the World and Confederate History Month. We are back to business as usual in a big way tonight. Welcome to tonight's live broadcast, folks of TPC. I'm James Edwards, along with Keith Alexander, this Saturday evening, May the 3rd. Happy birthday to Frankie Valli, 91 years old today, still on tour, still younger than Keith. But here's what we've got. Coming up in the second hour tonight, Dr. Kevin MacDonald and Brad Griffin, two guests, 1 hour, to examine the story that Courtney was talking about last week, the voting tendencies of white men and women. Dr. MacDonald and Brad will be examining this through different lenses. Dr. MacDonald will look at the data from the perspective of evolutionary psychology, while Brad will discuss the findings relative to culture and religion. I'm really looking forward to that, a little follow-up from something we were talking about last week, and it's made a big splash. It's been spread about. That data research article has been popping up all over the place, Amren, UNS, TOO, OD, and other places. Third hour, the doctors are in tonight, Keith. Dr. Ricardo Duchesne will be on to promote his brand new book, and it is hot off the press, just released, Greatness and Ruin. That's a new title from our friends at AntelopeHillPublishing.com. Kevin MacDonald, Brad Griffin, Ricardo Duchesne, coming your way tonight. But first, we are going to go straight to it. We're going to offer our thoughts on the Shiloh Hendricks story out of Rochester, Minnesota. So I actually heard about this first. Now it's everywhere, but I heard about this first from a listener in Washington State, and he writes, James, this has gone viral. No explanation needed. This woman has raised as much as Carmelo Anthony. Now, if you can believe it, in a week she has exceeded what Carmelo Anthony raised for killing a white kid. She might not be the epitome of white excellence, but you got to give credit where it's due. Whether she's a single mom with tattoos or not, she's certainly more respectable and deserving of our support than Jeff Metcalf in Texas, our listener writes. As of now, she has not groveled or backed down, although that can change because I suspect it's imminent that the state of Minnesota will find a way to arrest her or get CPS involved. We shouldn't remain silent on this, aside from the excruciating embarrassment that is Jeff Metcalf. All recent indicators are that the tide is changing, that the phenomenon of white guilt is finally coming to an end. The proof is in the pudding. 5 years ago, this woman would have never raised $500,000.
She wouldn't have even been allowed access to those pay pages like that.
Well, what's interesting about this is her fundraiser is on GiveSendGo, and so is Carmelo Anthony's. And as of tonight, she has exceeded what he has raised. She is approaching $600,000. He has still raised about $521,000, I think, for murdering the white kid. And so this is it. So what happened? Well, I'll just tell you in her own words. This is at givesendgo.com/Shiloh Hendricks. Shiloh spelt like the battlefield. Hendricks, H-E-N-D-R-I-X. Givesendgo.com/Shiloh.
German-derived name.
Shiloh Hendricks. Yes, German and Dutch, most likely. But and she certainly does look like it. Help me protect my family. Hello, she writes. My name is Shiloh, and I've been put in a very dire situation. I recently had a kid steal from my 18-month-old son's diaper bag at a park. I called the kid out for what he was. Now, what she said he was is, well, it rhymes with Tigger. We'll just say that. And then another man who recently found out he has a history with law enforcement proceeded to record me and follow me to my car. He then posted these videos online, which caused myself, my family, great turmoil. My social security number has been leaked. My address, my phone number have been given out freely. My family members are being attacked. My child may not be able to go back to school. Everywhere that I go, even my exercise where I exercise has been exposed. So here's what happened. Well, you just heard it. Little kid on a playground is rifling through her 18-month-old son's diaper bag and apparently stealing some toys. And she drops an N-bomb on him. And then you have this Somalian.
A Somali pirate.
He looks exactly like the pirate from Captain Phillips. He looks exactly like the guy, the bad guy in Captain Phillips, the movie with Tom Hanks, the one where Tom Hanks is the captain of a cargo ship, a container ship, and the pirates come on. You know, these Somalians have these skinny skulls and these jagged teeth, and they all kind of look the same. Well, anyway, he springs into action. I mean, he sees an opportunity to ruin a white woman's life for saying a word that he doesn't.
They probably say it 5 times an hour.
Well, and here's the thing about that. I do not care. I do not care. I don't have any care or concern for her using that word. I just don't care. Because you know why I don't care? Because it triggers this low IQ and poor impulse control when blacks hear that word, which it really doesn't offend them. It's all, in my opinion, it's all a LARP. It's all a LARP. They see dollar signs in their eyes. Maybe they can shake down this person. At the very least, maybe they can ruin their lives for saying a word in a moment of anger. And I would certainly, listen, you know what's more offensive to me? When I go out and hear kids, you know, shouting GD and MF in public places, and I hear that all the time with these punks. I don't care. I don't care about this. And it is a big shakedown, you know, to get people fired, to ruin their ability to provide for their families, to take away their scholarship, get them expelled from school. We have seen this so many times. So if this woman says this and she has a windfall, good for her. And she's sure having one. In less than a week, she has raised, as of this moment, as I just click refresh, $569,212. So that is what's going on. And what it is, I think the bigger picture of this is, it is, especially when you consider the fact that just a month ago, you had this big fundraiser on the exact same platform, GivesAndGo.com, Carmelo Anthony, and now his page has been updated, by the way. It says, well, you know, it's not all going to legal funds. You know, obviously they need the mansion and he needs his shoes and the cars that. But I mean, it's just, it is an implicit test of whose side are you on, and people are drawing the line, and people are rallying to this woman, imperfect as though she may be. She stood up, she did not back down, and when put on camera, she doubled down and continued to say it over and over and over and over.
Well, the difference is the blacks have always had racial solidarity. You could always depend on them raising money for themselves under the squirreliest of pretexts. You know, you killed somebody and you're going to have to be tried. So implicitly, you have to pay for your attorneys. But he's been very upfront about this. He's using this money just like anybody else would. This is just his own private stash. On the other hand, Shiloh has shown herself to be a good mother in several ways. And one way that she's done that is that she said she's raising the money so that her children can go to private school.
Well, originally, I don't think she said that. I inferred that because her original goal was to raise $20,000, and in her statement, she said her kids may not be able to go back to school, which is, you know, certainly a public school. So I would imagine that. Now, there are some great comments online. I mean, this thing is everywhere on Twitter. It is the biggest social media story, I think, of the week. And
deservedly so, because, see, it's different for whites. Whites normally do not have this sense of racial solidarity and support one another. But we're seeing that a new day is dawned, James.
So here's one comment. Shiloh Hendricks, the viral interaction between Shiloh Hendricks and the Somali scumbag could have never happened without 3 pieces of critical civil rights legislation in the 1960s, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1965, the Fair Housing Act of 1968. What do all of these 3 pieces of legislation have in common? They were all vigorously, organizationally, and financially sponsored and promoted by Jewish organizations, legislators, lawyers, and prominent civil rights agitators. Quite simply, they would not have happened without this activism. So again, the fact of the matter is, this would not have occurred had it not been for all this. And of course, we know that.
Like we've said before, imagine the civil rights movement happening without Jewish power and influence, wealth, organizational skill being behind it. like I said before, we never had a garbage worker strike in Memphis. Martin Luther King Jr. and Jesse Jackson would be on the tarmac in Atlanta arguing who was going to pay the airfare, and they'd still be there arguing about it.
Another comment, you know, our side definitely wins the battle in a rout when it comes to humor. The left hates to be mocked. They have no sense of humor whatsoever. Our people have me laughing all the time. This comment reads, Hamites are trying to destroy a white mother. That goes back to the curse of Ham, of course.
Yeah,
and, a 5-year-old U.S. African thug stole from an 18-month-old white kid. Then another older Somali African thug who should be deported tried to ruin the white woman's life. So, see, this is... You can watch this, by the way, if you go to OccidentalDescent.com. That's Brad Griffin's website. We'll be on in the next hour. You can just find the one that has Shiloh Hendricks' name, and you can watch the video. I can't play the video on the radio because there's a lot of profanities in it. But
she didn't back down a bit. That was the best thing about it.
She doubled down and didn't even flinch. And then when she posted the fundraiser, she said, I called the kid what he was. And in her opinion, we know what that is. But what I'm saying here is, I think the reason why this has galvanized a lot of people is this Somalian who apparently he has child abuse charges, and apparently he's not even a father but was hanging out at a playground. If this is the same guy, and I have reason to believe that it is, the ABC News story out of Minnesota reads, two Rochester men will appear in court on May 5th.
Rochester like a Maryland man.
will appear in court on May 5th on joint charges of third and fifth degree criminal sexual conduct after being accused of raping a 16-year-old after offering her a place to stay. And it appears as though one of the men is the videographer. So he sprung to action to record this woman, to sort of cow her, and then post it online with one reason and one reason only, to ruin her life. Now, what he could have said, if he was really that taxed over hearing a word, he could have said, ma'am, you know, there are kids here, and I would prefer you not to use that language. That would have been polite. That would have been okay. But he didn't do that. He immediately gets his camera out, tells her he's going to post this on social media, and he's going to find out what the internet says.
There's going to be a shakedown. He was going to shake her down.
All of these people, you know, the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter and these woke people, these really evil people, are doxing her, you know, putting her life, very much her life and the lives of her children, in jeopardy by posting where she lives, her social security, her where she goes, her phone number. All of that's on social media. She's been doxed. And to me, that's why I say I could not give one hoot in hell about her using that word when compared to what they're trying to do to her is to ruin her, if not kill her. And so good for her for raising this money.
It's what we've said so many times. These people, the ones that are trying to dox her, are experts in every way of making money except honest labor. See, they know how to run shakedown. They know how to, steal from, the 18-month-old child's duffel bag. You know, it's incredible. They just have an unerring instinct of making money, but, I mean, they have a direct allergy for honest labor.
I don't know if his goal was to raise money. I think his goal was just to harm her, you know, obviously, because, again, he could have settled it adult to adult and said, ma'am, I would appreciate if you didn't use that kind of language around these kids. But he didn't do that. He immediately went to post this and to further agitate her. And, the comments are just incredible. The fatigue is real.
Enough is enough.
There are some interesting comments on her GiveSendGo page. One commenter, somebody left a donation. One commenter wrote 13% of the population, 50% of all violent crimes. I mean, you get where they're going with that. But this is an interesting comment. A few years ago, this woman probably would be appalled at the idea of using racial slurs. Today, she's dropping the hard R on camera without giving any
concern.
See,
I was born
concern.
In Minnesota, remember? What my father said about Minnesota? He said they had no experience with blacks at all. In the county I was born in, in 1950, during that 50 census, there was one black person in all of Meeker County, Minnesota. What? But everybody over there was an expert on race relations that used to lecture my father as a Southerner about how badly Southerners treated blacks, and he would just roll his eyes and say it's like people that live in the desert telling people that live in the jungle about jungle survival. What? And what has happened is because the federal government has dumped all these Somalians and other blacks in their midst, they have apparently they're in the process of becoming race-wise, and that's what we need in this places like that.
This is exactly what Brad writes in reaction to this. One more comment. I don't think libtards realize how radicalized the average suburban white mom has become because of all of this wanton racial violence. And again, to me, I'm just going to say I'm going to give her a full pass. I do not care when compared to what they're trying to do to her. And compared to actual real violence and things that people should be concerned about, a word, give me a break. Grow up.
This is a single mother trying to support two children. As far as I know, she doesn't have a husband or even a live-in boyfriend or something.
Well, we don't know. We don't know at all.
She's trying to support them. And
she's going to do it now.
I know, but the thing is, see, she can't tolerate somebody stealing the toys. I mean, her children probably don't have access to a cornucopia of toys.
And this is what I'm saying. Maybe she had a bad day. She uses a word. Okay. I mean, again, I see kids every day in public. You used to never hear people swear out loud. Kids, you know, in junior high going around MFGD, I mean, that's far more offensive
remember
now.
Remember the tale I have about, you know, when I was taken to the principal's office in the sixth grade at Cherokee Elementary, and the teacher and the principal said, "What have you got to say for yourself?" And I said, "Well, darn, I'm this," and she said, "Darn." And I said, "Well, heck." Well, I said, "Heck." I said, "Well, gosh," she said, "young man, done anything but fill spew out of your mouth?" And that was back in the 50s, okay, or the early 60s. This is, you know, what James is talking about is the degradation of our culture and society, and it's all been caused ultimately by the Civil Rights Movement.
All right. Brad Griffin writes, and he's coming up the next hour. I want to give a little hope to our blue state guys. Even though 54% of white women in Minnesota voted for Kamala Harris, it is important to keep in mind that 44% of them did not. Some of them are also like Shiloh Hendricks. And again, you see the solidarity.
They're getting wised up.
Well, Warren Balog, I was texting with Warren today, or rather he texted me and shared with me this article. It was just posted today, May the 3rd, and you can look it up at Warren Balog, that's B-A-L-O-G-H, warrenbalog.substack.com, and be sure to subscribe to Warren's Substack. But Warren has the headline, "White unity is more powerful than an atomic bomb." And I think this is the definitive article on this story. And this is how it reads, and this is what he wrote. "The outpouring of moral and financial support for white mother Shiloh Hendricks has become a rallying cry against racial attacks on white people all over America." So this is where we really distill everything into sharp focus. But the most important lesson to take away from this is the example that we've had the power to support each other all along. As of this writing, Shiloh's Gibson Go has raised over $500,000 from supporters all over the world. People have rallied to her cause, partly because the original video by a self-appointed spy and agent of the Thought Police is painfully familiar to so many white people forced to live around diversity. In the Orwellian climate of the 21st century multiracial America, there have been countless highly publicized cases of regular white working class people having their lives completely destroyed because in a moment of frustration, they expressed a politically incorrect word or thought in private life. This nightmarish climate of racial and social oppression exists because of the unique confluence of one, near universal video audio surveillance in the digital age, combined with two, the unbelievable power of controlled anti-white social media platforms to amplify or suppress stories and speech. Both by law and custom, white people in modern America live like a HELOT class who are expected to work and support the system, but they can have their rights violated. And by the way, she has the freedom of speech to say that word. I don't care if it offends you. And they are expected to work and support the system, but they can have their rights violated at will by non-whites they are forced to live around and inevitably face harsh social or even criminal penalties if they protest. What really fired up passions about the Shiloh Hendricks video is not only the self-righteous tone of the snitch, allegedly an African immigrant accused of rape, who threatened the young mother by saying she's committed a hate speech and that we'll see what the internet has to say about you, but also the brave way this white mom holding her young child does not back down. She stands up to the bully and refuses to be cowed, further inflaming passions is the fact that this video was heavily publicized by a liberal social media influencer named Michael McWhorter, whose entire claim to fame consists in using his corporate big tech megaphone to dox and harass helpless, ordinary people accused of thought crimes. And then he goes on and, of course, compares this to Carmelo Anthony and the murder of Austin Metcalf. And it is a great article. I can't read it all. It is fairly lengthy, but every word carries freight. So be sure to check it out at warrenbaylog.substack.com. And that is why we're spending the first 30 minutes on the show tonight on this story, Keith.
Well, scroll back up to the very beginning of it and look at those women. Guess who that is on the far left corner?
I don't know. Angela Lansbury?
No, Carolyn Miles. From the Emmett
Till. Well, that is a good example. So, in fact, we said that pre-show that they would love to torture this woman into the grave, just as they did Karen the woman who was accosted by Emmett Till.
Right. She didn't do anything wrong. She was a victim, and they basically harried her to her deathbed. They were after her, trying desperately to hang some type of bogus charge on her. But guess what? Times are changing, folks. It's time that the left got a little bit of their own medicine, and I'd love to see that happen in this case. This Somalian needs to be deported immediately because of his criminal background. Trump needs to step right in and send that guy on his way back to Eritrea and Africa.
Well, I hope that she continues to not back down. I hope that her children are protected. I hope that she makes $1 million. Let this set an example. If you try to ruin people, not because, you try to ruin someone's life, not because you're really offended by a word, but because you hate white people. That is why they did it. And that is why he did it. And that is why this happens. And so many white people's lives have been destroyed because of an allegedly a naughty word. Let them all become millionaires.
Well, it's not just Shiloh Hendricks. It's what is the most impressive.
She stands for everybody who has been ruined. For every white person who has been destroyed for saying words that black people pretend not to.
Well, we've always had people like that, but the thing that is so important about this is the reaction of the white population generally, sending all this money to her. That's what we need. We need to have that solidarity. People need to know that when they confront some type of situation like that, if the black thugs try to ruin her financially, her people will come to her aid. That's what we need to do. When we can do this, we can say that it's a new day has dawned in America.
All right. So that's pretty much what we have to say about that. We will pivot here after the bottom of the hour break, and we've got quite a bit more to cover this hour. I'm going to give you, I know I mentioned it last week, but it was just a week ago today. It seems like a year ago. So much happens, and we're always so busy. But it was just a week ago tonight or rather earlier this morning. It was a 10 o'clock start time that I gave a talk in Michigan. I'll give you a little more background on that. We didn't go into too many details. Just a great time. Went to Pastor Brett McAtee's church last Sunday, and that was just such a blessing and just a wonderful fellowship and time spent with them. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But, Keith, why don't you set the table? And we've got maybe a minute left. But when we come back, we're going to talk about Trump's executive order on disparate impact.
Disparate impact.
This is something that you really want to talk about.
Yeah, disparate impact was the final nail in the coffin. Everybody points back to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, but the 1964 Civil Rights Act is something that really would have worked to our advantage had it been enforced based on its language. It basically says that race cannot be a factor in admissions decisions or in employment decisions. And white people could certainly have weathered that storm. The problem was because when that was law, very few black people were getting ahead. So they dreamt up this disparate impact theory, which says that even if something is not intended to be racist or is intended to hurt somebody, specifically of a racial category. If you don't, if what happens is...
All right, we're going to get to the definition when we get back. We're running out of time. But the music is playing. When we come back, Keith has given you a little teaser. We're going to let him... this is something near and dear to his heart, something that he has been damaged by. We'll talk about it next.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. American Employer is adding a better than expected 177,000 jobs in April as the job market showed resilience in the face of President Trump's effort to level the playing field in trade. Some economists, though, claim that Mr. Trump's tariffs on imports to the U.S. have shaken financial markets and frightened consumers. But correspondent Ken Lorman reports economic statistics do not reflect that at all.
Bill Adams, chief economist at Comerica Bank, called the jobs report reassuringly normal, adding the fears of a softer labor market due to tariff uncertainty went unrealized last month, adding that there are signs that businesses are reining in plans for hiring and capital spending, and that consumers are turning more cautious toward discretionary spending. But Adams noted that the warnings come from surveys of businesses and consumers, but have not yet showed up in actual economic data. Ken Lorman, Washington.
The jobs numbers come in above economist expectations for a modest 135,000. The Labor Department reports, meanwhile, the unemployment rate remained at a low 4.2%. Also at townhall.com, President Trump maintains his threat to keep an Ivy League school solidly in check.
President Trump is re-upping his threat to strip Harvard University of its tax-exempt status. He's escalating a showdown with the first major college that has defied his efforts to crack down on campus activism. The president has questioned that status since the school refused to comply with the administration's demands for broad government and leadership changes, revisions to its admissions policy, and audits of how diversity is viewed on the campus. That prompted the administration to block more than $2 billion in federal grants to the institution. Ron Taylor reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. We make the amazing Solaire infrared gas grills that are built to last and will consistently deliver better than restaurant grilled food. The Solaire infrared burner heats up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. The high heat locks in the juices and flavor and grills food faster. Learn more about these fantastic USA-made grills at BestHotGrill.com. Solaire hot, fast grills at BestHotGrill.com.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime, choose your own provider, and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/wellness.
It is common for politicians, major media outlets, and nonprofits to hype white on black murders aggressively, or even claim that blacks are living in fear of white people.
Lynch for simply being black. Hard to believe, but that's what was done. And some people still want to do that.
This is why National Conservative launched the Interracial Homicide Tracking Project. We have now documented well over 2,000 confirmed interracial homicides since January 2023. And created the most comprehensive overview of these killings anyone has ever made. We plug the gaping holes in data left by other homicide trackers and government crime stats. Rather than engaging in hyperbole and vitriolic rhetoric like everyone else, we are simply creating a massive sample size of empirical evidence so people can form rational and informed opinions about a sensitive and politically charged issue. Visit natcon.life. natcon.life.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's top publisher of the books the other guys are too afraid to touch, providing you with the information you need to challenge the status quo. Whether your interests are contemporary dissident politics, history that would otherwise be censored, philosophy, or exciting novels from talented new authors, you'll find plenty to love. The Antelope Hill catalog includes books you won't find anywhere else, such as Paleface, The Philosophy of the Melting Pot, which criticizes white self-hatred, The 60-Year Caucasian War, and other books about Russian history and politics, The Sword of Crime, Christ, which argues for restoring Christianity as the foundation of the West and combating heresies like Christian Zionism. Books on the Spanish Civil War, speeches by Mussolini and other historical figures, original translations of previously unavailable 20th century works, and much more. With new titles added every month, there's no doubt that Antelope Hill Publishing will have something for everyone, even children. These books will enhance your personal library, and they also make great gifts. So be sure to check out the complete catalog at AntelopeHillPublishing.com. Order online today at AntelopeHillPublishing.com.
GibsonGo.com/Shiloh Hendricks. Let's make this mom a millionaire, team. And let's move on now to disparate impact. So this, I think these two things are related in some ways, obviously. Keith, this was just another mistake that, well, I could say a mistake that America made, or rather another injury that was inflicted upon us by the powers that be in the 1960s. But to his credit, Donald Trump has issued an executive order just last week, April 23rd, in fact. The executive order is restoring equality of opportunity and meritocracy. So as our friend Paul Kersey writes, the march back towards eliminating anti-white racism enshrined by the Civil Rights Act of 1964 begins, hopefully, this complete repudiation of this act, or simply ensuring white individuals are collectively protected by it. And Paul Kersey writes, this is why this executive order is why I voted for Donald J. Trump three times. Now, let me read the definition for this, Keith, and I'm going to let you run wild, because you have had personal been personally impacted by this. You have seen the effects of it up close and personal. So this is the textbook definition of disparate impact. Disparate impact refers to employment practices or policies that, while appearing neutral on their face, disproportionately negatively affect members of a protected group. This is a form of unintentional racism and unintentional discrimination.
According to them.
According to them. So what you had, of course, with all of that horrible anti-white legislation in the 1960s was to ostensibly provide everyone, regardless of race, equal opportunity. But when given equal opportunity, they still could not compete at the same level. They could not guarantee
win the competition.
They could not guarantee an equal outcome. Equal opportunity does not guarantee equal and equality of outcome. And so when naturally a certain group performs worse on standardized tests and other exams and other measurements, thank you, Keith, then therefore the tests themselves must be racist or discriminatory, even though everyone is given an equal opportunity to succeed and excel at them. And so, of course, what you've got now is the lowering of standards themselves, which is killing people. You have people who have no business being advanced only because they are not white, and they say that is not racism. That is whatever else it is.
Let me tell you, the lack of racism can be deadly. Think about air traffic controllers, for example. If you get some underqualified person,
or pilots themselves,
yeah, pilots and things like that.
Talk about disparate impact, how it affected you.
Okay, well, here,
and what you think about it in this executive order.
Well, let me give you the background. First of all, what happened was you had the 64 Civil Rights Act, which they thought was going to make a big difference. White people in the South said, no, this is just a matter of meritocracy. You know, we are better qualified. So when they passed the 64 Civil Rights Act, people in the know said, well, this is not going to be nearly as bad as they intend it to be, because we'll win the competition. Well, it proved that the Southerners, the so-called racist Southerners, were right, that they did win, and blacks could not compete with them. So consequently, the do-gooders and the Jews, Jews never intend to do good. They like to pretend they do, but they really don't. They decided that what was happening was really the true measure of meritocracy. Meritocracy was being applied, and black people were still not winning the prize. So they wanted them to win the prize, so they decided to come up with this harebrained notion that even if there is no intent to discriminate against black people, if they don't if they can't pass an entrance exam, for example, well, that is prima facie proof of racism, and that they were going to be protected. This is, again, the Dodge doctrine, where the bureaucrats actually rewrite the law. They did this, and they went to the Supreme Court, and Chief Justice Warren Burger, one of the dumbest people ever to rise to the head of, you know, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, he graduated from St. Paul, Minnesota Knight Law School, if you can believe that. But he was the one who wrote this opinion. And this is where all the problems began. This is why we now have this culture of mediocrity in just about every institution that we have in America, because unqualified people, blacks, have been given a pass to get jobs. This is why you have a government employment sector that is dominated by blacks. Now, I got out of college in 1973, 2 years after the Griggs decision. I was affected by this. I applied to Vanderbilt Law School. And like I tell people, there are a lot of people that suspect that they were the victims of affirmative action. I know that I was, because I had a key job. I worked in the registrar's office where all the transcripts were held. And if somebody wanted to apply to a graduate school, a professional school, or transfer to another college, my job was to fish out their transcript, check it over, make sure everything was copacetic with it, and then put the official stamp on it and send it on with their application to law school or medical school, for example. So I had access to everybody's grade point average, their course of study, their standardized test scores, among other things. And I noticed when I was a senior that a black senior in my class was applying to Vanderbilt Law School just like I was. And the magic of Vanderbilt Law School in Memphis is that that's the golden ticket to partnership.
Ivy League of the South.
Yeah. What it did, basically, if you went to Harvard or Yale and you were in Memphis, people say, what are you doing here? But if you wanted to be validated as being one of the smart people that should be a partner in a law firm, the golden ticket was going to Vanderbilt Law School. Well, this other guy, I had a 170 out of 180 on the LSAT. He had below a 150. I had a 3.664 grade point average and was Phi Beta Kappa. His average was about 2.3, between 2.3 and 2.4, taking CRIP courses like Black Studies. Well, folks, guess who got into Vanderbilt Law School that year and who didn't even get put on the waiting list? And that has affected my entire career. You know, if I would like to show people, let's just give me his career. He has about five pensions working for him from various government employments. He has been made a partner in a big firm. He couldn't handle it, but, you know, he's been getting all these cush government jobs. Just give me get my earnings up against his earnings and give me the difference.
Then, okay? Then let's get your brain up against his brain and see the difference. But I'll tell you this. We're letting Keith use the program as a cathartic exercise tonight. How's it feel?
Feels great. And what I would like, the next point before this, you know, the only way that this is going to make any difference is if people like me can bring suits against institutions like Vanderbilt for racial discrimination and get damages for the damage that it caused to my earning potential in my career.
You note know, to self, call Glenn Allen after your show.
We'll do it.
But listen, what do you think about this executive order? I mean, obviously, I know you like it, but this is stuff I don't think any of us, in our best case scenario for Trump, would have imagined that he would address.
Well, look, it shows that he has followed the Boy Scout motto of being prepared. He's got people that have enough sense to be able to look through.
But he's
all
still
these
got
us.
I agree. It may be somebody else's idea. Maybe it's
no,
Stephen Miller.
It's
maybe
great.
It's somebody.
He's
but
doing
he's still signing off on it.
Well, the thing is, it's up to him, and he's done it. What needed to be done is to have a really talented staff behind him, so they've figured out exactly where the Achilles heel was in the civil rights movement, what is happening, what is causing white people to be getting the soft end of the stick on this, and they figured it out. Disparate impact and the Griggs versus Duke Energy decision, These people knew what they were doing, and now what he needs to do is get the EEOC Civil Rights Division of legal staff put on, you know, bringing suits against these institutions that have put black people unmeritedly ahead of white people.
How is it racism, so-called, and discriminatory practice to have equal opportunity, but it is not racism or discriminatory action to move non-whites along and advance them because they fill a quota or set aside and check a box?
Because they know that people, particularly black people, they don't say, have you ever heard a black athlete say, well, I lost the race, but it was a fair fight? No, they don't do that. If they don't win, then the fix is in. So this is what they wanted to do for them. Furthermore, it points to what I've always said, is that the civil rights movement was not pro-black, it was anti-white. And this Griggs decision was the key to making it an anti-white movement.
When we come back, now next week, we're going to do what everybody else is doing this week. We're backlogged here at TPC. Next week, we're going to do a full hour on the first 100 days of the Trump administration. The pros, the cons, the good, the bad. A lot of good, a little bad, mostly good. We'll do, you know, maybe a two-minute preview on that when we come back. And then I'm going to take you behind the scenes. My trip to Michigan, every seat filled. Pastor Brett McAtee in the house. We'll be right back.
Enemy of Western civilization. Karl Marx crafted his communist ideology with the genocidal goal of destroying the European peoples. Key concepts of communism are atheism and materialism, that God and spirit do not exist. Germany was smashed at the end of World War II, and communism emerged triumphant. By controlling the political system, courts, mass media, educational system, and entertainment industries, Marxists have imposed a tyrannical, top-down agenda of globalism and immoralization on the West. The results are open borders, rampant crime, institutionalized corruption, sexual perversion, the destruction of the middle class, concentration of wealth, aimless youth with no purpose in life, and the hollowing out of Christianity. But Kyle McDermott's book, The Declaration of White Independence, demonstrates how we can unshackle our people from the communist ideology and obliterate atheism and materialism. The Declaration of White Independence is available at Dixie Republic. For more information, go to DixieRepublic.com. Get your copy of Kyle McDermott's Declaration of White Independence at DixieRepublic.com.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I'll tell you what, Keith, TPC, even without a special month of programming, still pretty special.
Fire.
Let's talk a little
bit. The thing is, Donald Trump is doing so much good. I'm like you. I don't want to hear people putting him down because he doesn't do enough for them on the Jewish issue or something like this. We need victories. And, you know, Trump said, we're going to get tired of having so many victories. I'm not tired yet. I want to have victories on the race relations frontier.
We want things we've never gotten before, and he's certainly delivering on that. I would say just always be objective on any issue. Judge him fairly. And so far this administration, you go back to the January the 18th program, and we had Steve King and Lou Moore. I'm going to call Lou. I'm going to call Lou this week and see if he'll come on with us and do an hour next week to do a full and complete treatment on the first 100 days assessment of Trump's first 100 days, which I think he just eclipsed last week. Actually, he was up in Michigan to celebrate the 100th day about 2 days after I left. But We had Steve King on and Lou Moore on the January 18th show this year. That was a Saturday night. Obviously, 2 days later, Monday, January 20th, he was sworn back in. And we were saying things we would hope to see him do. And he has so far exceeded that. It's really not even in the same universe. I mean, starting with the pardons of the J6 people on through this executive order on restoring meritocracy and directly targeting disparate impact. But, you know, look, but the thing is, I was going to give him a solid A tonight in my preliminary assessment. We're going to do the full treatment next week. I might lower that to an A- after this, you know, backpedaling on Ukraine. That's not a good thing. I mean, he's gotten the mineral deals, it looks like, and maybe it's a negotiating ploy. I don't think he's going to, as you said, Keith, I don't think he's going to go to Putin and say, you got to give back all the land, you got to give back Crimea and Donbass and all of that. But, you know, I'd rather have seen him not do that. It's not a good thing. When he does things I don't like, I'll say, you know, I think he made a mistake.
Zelensky is never going to be reasonable. He has no reason to be reasonable. If he's reasonable, he'll do himself out of a job. He's raking in the money. So, consequently, Zelensky's not going to agree to anything that Putin is going to agree to. And Putin basically is winning on the battlefield, so why does he want to give all that up, you know, to try to pacify a pretender, a guy that really isn't even the prime minister of or president of Ukraine anymore? His term of office has expired, but he's not stepping down.
That's right. It expired quite some time ago, actually. Nobody really talks about that. So, look, we'll still talk about this next week. I would still say 9 out of every 10 things that Trump has done are things that I think have benefited whites. If you are grading Trump, looking at the big picture, you know, I think you'd have to give him a passing grade at least. Now, if the Jewish issue is your only concern, then he's probably going to fail. If the Jewish issue is the only thing you're concerned about, that he's not talking about Jews, then he probably flunks. However, I mean, according to this Washington Post story today, he just fired his national security advisor, Mike Waltz. And the Washington Post says reports that Mike Waltz was dismissed because he was too pro-Israel, that he was doing too much for Israel and pushing the U.S. into a war with Iran. That's what the Washington Post is reporting, that he was too close with Netanyahu.
Well, the Washington Post is trying to drive a wedge between the Jewish interests and Trump. But let me tell you, Trump, if he came after the Jews the way that people like Philip Giraldi and others want him to, basically he would be out of office. He would not be able to do anything for us. For example, on Harvard and Yale and Columbia, punishing them. I don't care that he's punishing them because of anti-Semitism. I wish he was punishing them because of the way they treated white Gentile Christians. But the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And it's time to, you know, this is the first time I've seen places like Harvard and Yale have their money threatened by the federal government. And that is wonderful. That is, you know, I'd like to see all of those Ivy League colleges plus Vanderbilt go out of business. You know, that would be wonderful.
So anyway, we'll talk more about that. We're all imperfect instruments, but I would say, again, from starting with the J6 pardons all the way through this disparate impact executive order, people say, well, you know, all these executive orders can be overturned. Well, yeah, they can, but what else do you want him to do? He can't make Congress do its job. Half of Congress exists to oppose everything he does, no matter what it is, the Democratic sides, and then he's only got a couple of narrow margin.
What he needs to do is take a page out of Andrew Jackson's book and say, that
he's got all these
Mr.
judges.
Mr. Roberts has made his decision. Now let him enforce.
Yeah, you got all these judges. You got to have the consensus of 688 district court judges. So I mean, it's a tough road to hoe right there. So overall, I'm giving him, you know, A- maybe. The Ukraine thing, a little bit of a backpedal. Don't like that, but
I'll give him an A, but not an A+.
No, A+ wasn't on the cards, but A is good. Hey, I mean, I think every other president's got an F in my lifetime.
He's done more in the first 100 days of his administration than any prior president, including George Washington.
Okay, now this was an interesting thing. TPC, listen to this, folks. Interesting story. I took a screenshot of it because it was remarkable. So, you know, we have been all over the place in the last few weeks. We kicked off April, we were down in Dallas with David Duke and Patriot Front and Patriot Front did a demonstration, as you know. We talked about this on the radio, but I'm reminding you for a reason. Patriot Front did a demonstration on behalf of Austin Metcalf the next day in Frisco, Texas. And when they did the demonstration, it generated a lot of chatter on Twitter. And someone had asked the Twitter AI bot, Grok, I think is how you pronounce it, G-R-O-K, is the Twitter AI butler, basically. You can type in a question or get an answer from the AI there. And someone, and this was in a thread that Elon Musk himself had responded to personally, and they asked, is Patriot Front, are the people of Patriot Front feds? And Grok, the Twitter AI, wrote, it is unlikely that Patriot Front are federal agents. There is no evidence proving that they are, and most of their activities are, I'm not reading it right now in front of me, but it's consistent with far-right organizations. Furthermore, the Political Cesspool recently reported that they are not federal agents. So that is interesting to me, and here's why. That was not printed anywhere. That means that this AI bot somehow
knows about us.
Of course they know about us, but it knows what we said on this program. You know, it would be, you know, understandable if that had been something that was written that it could scan and find the algorithm and find the keywords. I only talked about Patriot Front one time, and that was the week after I was down there in Dallas, and I said all this stuff about them being feds is bogus, and the Twitter AI bot mentioned that, even though it was only spoken on this program.
It's kind of an offhand comment at that.
Well, we were used as a source of reference, and this is in a comment thread that Elon Musk himself had weighed in on, and he weighed in jokingly. He weighed in jokingly, saying that Doge had cut Patriot Front's funding.
Well, talking about X, I found out that I've joined the august company of you and Jared Taylor and whatnot. I am banned from X.
Most people are worth their.
I've hit the big time.
This is last week though in Michigan. Wonderful. So we were in Dallas the first week of April. Last weekend in Lansing, Michigan, and this is an interesting thing because it's not a full weekend conference based upon the model that we're used to. You know, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday conference. This is just a forum that features a single speaker, one in the spring and one in the fall. And this forum has hosted the likes of Pat Buchanan and Sam Francis and Joe Sobrin and a lot of people that we know and interview on this program, in fact. But my talk was at 10 o'clock in the morning last Saturday, and there wasn't an empty seat. And that was really something. I mean, you can go all the way up to Michigan and you know, there's that many people. And then we had a VIP dinner. And it's not just people that just come because they come to every forum. I mean, I'm sure some people come to every forum, no matter who the speaker is. But when I got over, they had a VIP dinner that night, last Saturday. And we had pre-recorded the show last week so I could go to that. We pre-recorded it a day early. But, and we do that, you know, maybe once or twice a year if we have a conflict. Other than that, 50 out of the 52 weeks, we're always live. But I was at this dinner last Saturday night, and we people were just gathered around asking. It was like story time. It was just a wonderful thing. You know, tell me about the time you interviewed this guy. Tell us this story. And they were just so well versed on the people who have been on this show and some of the things that we've done. And it was wonderful and a real honor to have Pastor Brett McAtee attend my talk last week. And then I got the chance to go to his church last Sunday morning. And that was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Just a true, and he was speaking, gave a great talk. And in part of his sermon, he talked about white guilt, and he said there is nothing to be guilty for, but even if there was, all that has been paid for on the cross. So what is this self-flagellation? I'm going to have actually Brett back on. He typically comes on for Easter and Christmas, but not exclusively. I'm going to have him back on because what he was saying was so powerful, I thought we should do an interview with him about it. So we're going to do that in the next couple of weeks. But had the chance to drive up through Illinois. You know, beautiful country up in Illinois. You would think, you know, Chicago brings down the whole state. A lot of farmland in Illinois. On my way back, I took my wife and kids to Lake Michigan, and we got our feet wet in Lake Michigan just to see one of the great lakes. It's just a wonderful thing. We got a wonderful community of listeners and supporters here, and I think
and, you know, don't put down Illinois. The rest of Illinois that's not up in Cook County in Chicago is trying to secede from the other part, from the liberal rat's nest called Chicago.
That's the route I went. I went up through Illinois, through Indiana, and into Michigan. Last time I was up there in 2016 to speak at this forum, I just went up through Nashville and straight up through Kentucky and into Indiana and Michigan, but went a different route this time. Illinois, pretty beautiful. My first time to actually drive through the state.
And quite frankly, the people in rural Illinois basically are much more like
right
Indiana.
Back
they need to leave
Kevin
Illinois
McDonald.
And become
stay tuned.
Come West.